So we finished last week discussing that the Rambam was trying to explain why people have a difficult time accepting a non-physical Olam Haba, right? An idea of Olam Haba that's not physical. Because he says that most people don't believe something is real if it's not physical. Correct? So we were discussing that to believe in something means you have to have a certain conception of it. And then there's a certain attitude towards that. In other words, I have an idea of something. I have a concept of something, if I believe that it exists in reality, if I believe that the image in my mind exists in reality, that means I think it's true, right? But so he's saying that most people only think with their imagination. So if they first the image in their mind is an imaginative image. So if they can't grasp something in an imaginative way, they can't go through the process of believing in it really. When what the Rambam is saying is that you should be able to have an idea of the thing, a concept of the thing. Like if you can understand why a thing should exist, so then you have an idea of it without an image, right? Like we were saying that the Rambam says later, people who have difficulty believing in Malachim, they still can believe in God being not physical, because that's a concept of a creator. They can have that idea, but they don't understand the concept of a malach. Now it's just a fact. So if it's a fact without seeing the ideas behind it, what role they're serving and the purpose in their existence, the necessity of their existence, then the only idea they have of them is an imaginative one. The only conception that they can have is an imaginative one. Okay. All right. So then he goes on. Somebody want to read? Vimlo yirtzeh
l'hamimzeh. Vimlo yirtzeh l'hamimzeh hamin hamon.
Okay. So they don't want to believe in the existence of. And he says that also applies to the soul, and that's why they imagine themselves existing in the future in the physical way, because they can't imagine the existence in a non-physical way. And the Rambam is saying that's really Rambam's idea of Olam Haba is the Olam HaNeshamos, right? But I guess if a person doesn't really engage his intellect, so he doesn't really he also doesn't understand that part of himself in that way. He only views when he thinks of himself, the only thought comes to mind is the image of himself in his mind, the physical image. You say you're going to live forever, so it doesn't mean anything to the person unless he can imagine himself as he views himself now continuing to exist. Only if a person is on a level where they can understand that there's a non-physical element that really is very active. In the soul, that they can imagine, that they can therefore understand that they can understand, there's an idea that they can understand, an idea of the soul. But that's the point I'm trying to make, that there's a difference between an idea of a thing and like an image of a thing. If you don't understand the concept, if you don't understand the necessity of something, then when you speak of it, you're gonna have to when you think about it, you're gonna have to think about it in terms of some imaginative way, right? And unless you have some and therefore, Ram says most people are gonna be locked into that way of looking at it. But if you can understand it as a concept, right? Then you don't have to embrace it with the imaginative faculty. You can embrace it with an intellectual faculty. You know, you have to think with something. You have an imaginative faculty. That's one of the parts of the mind to to grasp something, but then there's an intellectual faculty, and they're different. And the Rambam, we explained last week, the Rambam shows that they're different. There's certain things that the imagination can't perceive, but the mind can see to be true. Right? Right? Remember with the parabola, that the Rambam says you can show with a mathematical formula that there's an idea of two lines getting closer and closer and never touching. But the imagination can't grasp such a thing. It can't see the totality of that. It'll keep trying to find where they're getting closer and closer. It'll be like an infinite repeat of the same. As you magnify the picture, it looks the same. But the imagination can't grasp that idea. A continuous getting closer that never touches. But the mind can see that there's a formula that things can exist like that. Things can exist in that type of relationship. The concept can span much more than the imagination. Because the imagination is limited to what it has seen in the past and the way it can manipulate those images. Right? Can't use your imagination for something that has no resemblance to something that has no resemblance to what you've seen. Imagination can't go there. It's out of the reach. Every tool has a limit. And the imagination is going to be limited by that. So, but the mind does not have that limit. Mind has its own limit, but it doesn't have that limit. So these ideas of the soul and malachim, the Rambam says, you can't really approach them. You can't approach the true ideas with the imagination. Imagination is not the faculty to grasp those existences. Only through the intellect could you grasp them. So if a person is not intellectual, right, then he's going to be forced to try to force his imagination to imagine things, maybe very ethereal things, something like that. But it's going to always have to wind up. You never escape. You never escape the limit of the faculty, which is some sort of form, right? That's why the Rambam discusses you have to go into the proofs and the ideas to really understand it. Okay? Okay. And then the Rambam says like this. Says that what? Okay, so if somebody wants to believe that malachim are physical and that they eat, since the pasuk says and they ate, okay. I thought the Rambam holds that the pasuk is all the mar and nevuah. All right. I guess they don't know that Rambam either.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that also the Bnei Olam Haba Gam Kein Gugos, right? So Nachri Lo Nachri Alav Bezeh. Lo Nishimei Lekofer. Lo Naganehu. Lo Yosef Atleinu Kol Nish Yomer Zeh Sichos.
Okay, so it's interesting, Rambam. He says, although he altered this, it's completely false to believe that the Malachim eat. He says, we don't care about this. We're not going to be picky about this. We're not going to say he's a kofer. We're not going to degrade him. And he's not going to be any more foolish in our eyes than he was before. Not exactly a compliment. But he's saying it's just part of his foolishness. It doesn't really cross the line, though, of a religious... of a religious problem.
He's still acknowledging that this is foolish because he's not using his mind the way he should in terms of grasping these ideas. But he's saying this is not going to make it. Having these particular beliefs is not going to make it.
Right. This particular belief is not going to make a difference. Yeah. He's true. He's not going to make it. It's not going to make a more difference. Correct.
I mean, this guy and the microwave guy are just.
This guy and what?
The guy who. The microwave.
Oh, right.
It's all the same thing. It's not like. Since this is an area about Olam Haba, then it makes him any...
This does not make him any worse, correct.
Is he
going to
explain
it?
Let's see. So he considers it a certain shear. He says, and halavai, that every fool should just be this foolish.
And we should be
secure... that they should that their emunah in the what?
Meaning that their emunah should save them from making from believing in God's physical.
Right. That their emunah should save them right from believing that God is physical. Yeah. Such a thing.
Right.
The Ein Hezek.
The Ein Hezek in Yad Minuhu Nivraim Hanidon.
Yeah. Doesn't matter if he believes. Doesn't harm if he believes in Nivraim in created separate created entities. Yeah. So he's saying that what? He's saying the main thing is that he has the correct idea of God. The main thing is that he has the correct idea of God. It's an interesting thing. The interesting thing is that he's going to have to rely on his amuna, right?
Yeah.
So that we said the person can have the correct idea of God because you can understand God as a creator. In other words, there's a category in your mind. There's a logical cat. There's an idea in your mind of creator that you can think. Okay, I believe in a creator, and then you stop. You don't start thinking about the creator, right? So you can avoid the problem of engaging the imagination, because you can understand the necessity of it. You understand that's a concept, right? The mind grasps that, and then he'll rely on what the Chachamim say about that. It's an interesting thing. I mean, it's an interesting thing.
Isn't that? Yeah. In so many ways. I mean, congratulations, you realize that it's creative, but like you're completely missing.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, can you say he really believes in the creator not being physical if you would keep asking him questions, you would trap him into saying something like that? I mean, it's an interesting Rambam. It sounds like he's saying that although the seeds for, although really if you would probe deeply, he would have a hard time of an idea of the non-physical creator. As long as he just has this concept of the creator and he believes that he's not physical, that's good. Whereas if he would start thinking about it, then he'd be in trouble. Right? In other words, he can't really prove it in any way, right? And he can't really understand it in any way, Ram is saying. But it's good enough if he says, I believe this idea because Chachamim say it. And even though he really would be at a loss to understand what it means. Yeah.
Don't we say that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, Tibor and Noro, like, we're so mad at Moshe Rabbeinu that when we say that, you know, isn't that a similar thing? Like, I don't know what, you know, God will give or an order means, but
right.
But I know that Moshe Rabbeinu's nivuah is true, so.
But that's like a question like we can't ascribe things to God. You don't have a right to ascribe qualities to God. So you're saying I'm not using my idea of Gibor.
Right. I don't have an idea of Gibor when it comes to God, but I have an idea that Moshe Rabbeinu.
I'm not going to rely on myself to say that I know that Gibor is appropriate, but. The Gemara does try to understand what is the Gvura. I mean, the Gemara does say Gvuroso. I mean, we're not just saying Moshe uttered this syllable. Moshe uttered these sounds, so we're going to utter these sounds, even though we don't know what these sounds refer to.
Isn't it like, let's explain, we may not know the ins and outs of the Gvura, the details, or the concept of it, but our concept comes from where we explain it. It has something to do with communication between God and man, we believe it exists, and that's kind of our that's okay as far as our ideas being straight and within Judaism.
Here you're saying though that this guy is he could be a potential pulpit, because if you were, since he only sees the necessity of God as a creator, right?
Right.
If you were to start asking if you were to start asking questions about God, his mind wouldn't be able to grasp ideas there, so you have to employ his imagination, and then he would end up positing things about God that are physical. Right? That seems to be different than just acknowledging that we don't, you know, this area is too abstract for us.
Yeah, Jeremy.
It seems that people are always at the process.
There's always more you can.
What?
Yeah.
There's always the that step between the conceptual and the imaginative. That it's not. I mean, you can get closer and closer to that.
To true knowledge.
Yeah, true knowledge. It's not. So that's why something you'll say everybody's a mental culture, or whatever, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, nobody can claim to have true knowledge. So you say, okay, so nobody can. Well, that, I mean, we have to be careful though with that argument, because that's like the Rambam mentions the argument in the Mora, that you say that since the greatest knowledge of God is negation, is negative knowledge, right? So what's the difference, right? What's the difference between the levels? But I think the idea goes back to what we're saying about belief. That as long as he is only engaging his mind to the amount that he can, right? See, he is engaging his mind to a certain level, the amount that his mind can grasp, just an idea of Creator, right? Just an unqualified idea of a Creator, right? And he's attaching his belief to that, correct? That is considered that is a level of truth. The problem with the other things is that with the malachim is that he's attaching an idea of belief to something that's from the imaginative faculty. That's not in reality. See, when you would say that you would trip the guy up, how would you trip him up? Because you'd push him into imaginative thinking. You know what I mean? And then that would become what he considers the reality. In other words, a person is in reality, like Jeremy's saying, there are many, many levels. There are many, many levels of being. There's always more depth to an idea that you can uncover. Right, there's always more depth to the idea that you can uncover. But so what does it mean that you're in reality still? It means that you're only thinking and attributing truth to those things which come from the mind. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. It's not going to matter how far your mind was able to uncover. That's not going to make the difference of whether it's true or whether you're involved in truth or not. As long as you're only attaching belief to things that are uncovered by the intellect, then you're in the realm of truth. See, the problem when you say that this person could become a kofer if he starts thinking about it, that's because he would be moving away from the intellectual faculty. He would start trying to think more about it and use his imagination. Like the Rambam says in the Mor, he says if a guy starts with metaphysics, it's very harmful. Because he doesn't really have the tools yet to really think that way. So he's going to have to start thinking crazy thoughts. You understand? But the downfall will be, the downfall is, The problem is not that you don't know enough. The problem is that you're trying to supplement your shortfall with an erroneous source.
Because this guy really accepts input from his imaginative faculty as a source of beliefs.
That's right.
As a way to,
That's
to
correct. That's really the corruption. That's really what ra is. You know what I mean? To take the imaginative as a source and affirm that as existent. You know what I'm saying? But if as long as the guy has the idea of God in his mind, because and that's coming to him from a true source, that he understands that there has to be that there's a bore, right? And then he says, I can't go any deeper into that idea. That's too deep for me to go into. What that existence is. So then I rely on Chachamim to, so he's using, as long as he's using legitimate sources, namely his intellect and Chazal, and the truth of Chazal, then he's a Maimon. But the problem would be, if you'd say, but if he would start really thinking about it more, that would be, then he would be starting to take counterfeit information already. Yeah.
So maybe this guy's coming from like another, maybe he was told as a kid, Malachim are invisible, and Hashem's invisible like a mountain. Just not his intellect at all, it's just like his nursery teacher told him.
Right. Well, he's saying, you're right. I mean, that type of person is different. The Ram here is describing a person who has the wrong idea of Malachim, but doesn't believe God is physical. That's what he's talking about. So they're asking, but what type of a belief in God is that really? Because it's only because he averts his attention from thinking about it that he's considered to have the right idea. Because if you would really ask him deeper, he would have to tell you, like the Ram says, that he doesn't really believe non-physical things are existing. But I'm saying that would be coming from his imagination. That idea would be coming from his imagination. So he's good as long as he sticks with the idea that's only from his intellect. Then you can't fault him for not having. Then you can't say he doesn't know it because he hasn't gone deeper into it. Because, like Jeremy says, everybody could always go deeper, right? But there's a difference between not going deeper and taking something false as the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Do people like that exist?
Is that possible?
I can certainly imagine them.
No, I mean,
Ram is saying most people like this. That's what he's saying. I mean, he's not talking now, obviously, but.
Because you would think that once if they have this idea that if they really believe.
Well, let me ask you what you mean. Yeah.
Right. Then you would think that they, in their own mind, would start to question that in certain facts, and then at one point they would ponder.
No, they're not big questioners. These people, mm-hmm. They're not big questioners, not big ponderers, and not big questioners.
Forget them questioning. You would think at one point in their life.
Well, we're talking about them. Yeah.
A question would arise from someone else, that, or something would cause them to consider that. Not them sitting there, but like they would. Don't you think they would encounter a situation where they would have to?
And then they would say, "I have a moon come." Say, "God's not physical. I'm not going to talk about this anymore." Yeah.
So,
there's no point in arguing with these people. Yeah. I didn't hear what. Is he what?
Talking about someone that says, "I have moon come," and I'm just not going to think about things, or is he also including someone who just happened to not think about it? Does he have to kind of?
Yeah, that's what I think it would have to be. He would have to have some idea from his intellect, and then say it's beyond my scope.
How are we saying this?
Because he's just explaining how does the guy come to the idea that God's not physical if he hasn't thought about it. That's what I'm trying to explain. How can you have a guy who doesn't think about it but has a conclusion, right? So he has the idea of the Bore that he has, and then all the information that he has about God, he just says, "I go with the Chacham that there's no Gashmius." What does that mean exactly? I don't know exactly what that means, but it means not physical. Yeah.
How does that not apply to everything?
How could there be a non-physical existence? I'm not thinking about that. What?
How does that description not apply to everybody?
I don't know, you two can argue it out. Okay.
No, I'm just confused. Jeremy was asking this earlier. Did we answer that?
No, because there are people who aren't locked into the imaginative thinking.
Yeah, some think deeper.
Thank you. Some people can think out of the confines of the imagination. He's talking about people who are stuck in the confines in their imagination to think.
You're saying that the difference is what's motivating them to say, "I can't go further than this"? One guy said, "I can't go further because I don't know, I have to just go on top of it."
Which two people are we talking about?
The guy that Rambam's criticizing is saying that.
He's just saying if you think God is physical, then you've already entered into a real corruption. Then you have a real corruption. But Malachim being physical or not, it's interesting, so why isn't that doesn't bother the Rambam. That doesn't bother Rambam. So that's just because he's stuck in this imaginative thinking, and apparently it's not going to have any. He says that guy's not a kofer.
There's like no mitzvah. Science. I mean, that's
That's not one of the Yigim Likarim. Malachim is not one of the Yigim Likarim. Am I right?
So it's not any worse of a wrong idea.
Well, it's a much less of a worse idea. Is certain. That certainly is true. It's not the belief in malachim as physical is not as
Not logically, practically.
Right. Or religiously. It's a greater corruption of the. I mean, like the Ram explains in the Mora, you know, the more fundamental the idea is. Then the more harm it has to be even slightly wrong about it. So a malach is not really a fundamental. Things aren't. That's not the essence of our. That's not the essence of the of the Torah. We're not doing avodah to malachim. We're not. All the mitzvahs are not to malachim. Malachim is just a separate thing. It's a fact. But if your whole life is dedicated to serving an idea that's a false idea. That makes a much bigger difference. Right? It's interesting. Something to think about a little more. Okay, maybe we'll think about it a little more. Then we'll come back to it next week. Go ahead. Ovalo yachriya v'im lo yaspik l'echad min haschalim sh'yosem ze mekom safek.
Ovalo yachriya achas m'shtei ha'beos.
So if it's not enough, it's funny. This is the whole thing is a funny Rambam. I don't know the way he talks about this thing. He says, if it's not enough for one of these fools to be agnostic about this, to say it's something that I don't know about the malachim he's talking about, and not to conclude, right? So if this fool takes the position that you must believe that that malachim are physical, right? And he considers us, the Ram says, those who believe that the Olam Haba is non-physical and malachim are non-physical. He considers us to be, he makes fun of us, doesn't say what we are exactly. It's a mumbidaitenu. There's a lack in our das. Okay? There's no chait for him. That's no chait. It's interesting. Ain't chait a love. But then there's a funny thing. Anachlu kvar. So why is it no chait? It's not clear why there's no chait. Because we were mochalim already? Or, there's no chait. What do we think? Kvar be'arnu lo mumenu. That was, he means to say, he says, "Hodinu b'davashu mumban l'fi daito." We admit it already. There's no argument. We're not arguing. There's no argument amongst us. We believe that the malachim are not physical, and we also admit that according to what you think, it has to be. You have to consider us to have a mum.
No way to say that.
A little strange. The whole drama is strange.
He says very clearly it's false.
Yeah. It's false, but there's no hate on him.
Meaning, like, I don't dislike my enemy any less for hating me. It's like, that's what he's supposed to do.
That's right.
That just means he's following his premise to its logical conclusion
directly. At least you're acting.
But his premise is false.
In terms of hate, anyway.
Okay, that's a different problem. We'll deal with that one later.
No, it's because he's saying that the guy, right, the guy is just going to, this is his whole worldview. And he's serious about it, so he has to say we're wrong.
It's just being a consistent fool.
Just being consistent fool.
So, is he saying right? There's no extra isser?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so you're saying no extra. It's still a problem.
Well, that's that one underlying thing.
So it's not
that
really
one underlying
but
thing.
But there's not an extra thing if you just happen from that.
It's not an extra thing because he makes fun of us. That's not an extra thing.
Yeah,
right. Okay. And there'll be no lack of simple drushos there's no lack of plain interpretation of drushos that he can refute us with. Right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing to be astounded up by this.
Moshe Psukim Rabbi Midiranavu Yarab Shutam Al Hayos Hashem Geshem Bal Ayan Bozen aval kishehis amsu harayos hasichlios amoksim al himanaze gadanishu kamosha amru gibratorkios am be'adam.
Okay, so he says that just like if you take many psukim in their simple terms, they indicate that Hashem is a geshem balayim vozen, but when you understand the rayos and the mofsin that make it impossible, so then we know that the psukim are like the chazal say, dibur torah kol shmei adam. Yeah.
These people won't understand the proofs.
That's right. The only problem is they're taking the pshutim, they're taking the pashut interpretation of Chazal, they're taking a simple interpretation of the words of Chazal, only because they don't understand the proofs of the idea of a non-physical existences. So he's being very gentle over here on them, right? Not saying go out. He doesn't want anyone to read this thing and run out and condemn these people. Okay.
V'chein gam harayos hasich leos hamoim al heyos hamalachim uvnei ha'olam haba nekiyam min hagashmus ashni yitztarach lemar b'ma shiyavi lachshov v'hem hagashmus shihu mashal v'yovino harayos ahim elu hamaminim v'hem shihim gubos.
Right. What? Yeah, is that the same thing you just said?
It sounds like it.
What the English, what he means is, and also the proofs, the intellectual proofs that demonstrate that the Malachim and the Bnei Olam Haba are stripped of physicality, that make you say, until it forces you to say, that when Chazal is talking about the physical, it's a mashal. In other words, the proofs, the intellectual proofs, that make it clear that Olam Haba and the Malachim are non-physical existences, force you to interpret the words of Chazal as allegory. Right? It says that, Lo Yavino Arayos Ahein, Elu Amin B'Em Shegufos. So the ones who believe that the Malachim and the Olam Haba is physical, they lack knowledge in those proofs. Right? So what, before he was talking about God? The whole thing he was talking about God? Elisha Mosum Haim Lo Yavinim Lo Yasigim Maimin Hagashmus. He was talking about, even about God. And now he's talking about the Malachim. Right? Because otherwise it's repetitive. Okay.
Is he making one point about how they interpret the drashos and then another about the proofs of the ideas that the drashos teach? Meaning to say that these people are interpreting the drashos in terms of pshat, right, assuming that they're pshat.
Right.
And then, so they don't understand that's an incorrect approach, and then they also don't understand the ideas themselves that Chazal are pointing them towards.
You mean one is that they don't believe? Well, he's saying because they don't understand the idea. What he's saying, they don't understand the proofs that would make the statements of Chazal into mashal,
right?
And what's the second thing?
He's saying these people should realize.
What are those proofs? Like,
that's a good question. I mean, that's more in the Mor and Rucham. I mean, that's the question. Do we want to go into that kind of a? Do we want to go into that? That would be a study of Malachim. Yeah. Well, like he said before, he said in reality the non-physical existence is the most real, because it can't be altered. The physical is temporary, because it's dependent on a lot of things. Right, and subject to change, but the non-physical is free from external from any external force, so it'll remain the way it is. Nothing external can affect it. Yeah.
Can't something non-physical affect something non-physical?
I do have Hashem like burning up my malachim and stuff. And maybe that's also an issue.
You mean like Gehenna?
Cars.
Yeah. What? Not a physical fire.
Destruction is a burning.
It wouldn't really be fire, would it?
But it's not the non-physical is not, well, that may be true, but it still is better than physical, because it's much fewer things can harm it. So he's just saying it's stronger. He's saying they think the physical is stronger when in reality the non-physical is stronger. Because anything that can affect the non-physical can affect the physical, certainly. But vice versa is not true. Right?
Non-physical can affect the physical?
No. I'm saying that even granting what you're saying to be correct, the argument is still true that the non-physical is a stronger existence. Because there's only one thing that can affect it. Whereas the physical can be affected by other physical things. So I'm not saying he's saying nothing can affect it at all. But he's saying you can't say the physical is stronger. On the contrary, physical is subject to much more destruction. Okay, but that's the question: what direction we want to go over here? Do we want to get to the Tchias HaMeisim thing, or we want to stop here and never get to that? I mean, you know. Let's go a little further. Let's see if we can finish up a little further. Go ahead.
So he says, Rasoni lomar hamalachim v'hanavashos, Rasoni lomar b'nei ha'olam haba, Yachshuvu elu shelo tivada metiusam rak b'kabala mitad ha'torah, v'she'en sham derech im sheyore al metius hamalachim, v'lo al hishar ha'nefashos, k'mo she'omer mi she'yachshav v'she'yagia li'ideas ha'amtus b'rega.
Okay, he's getting on. He's trying to explain further that v'eich yitzu yeshavino hinakusa minachomer v'etzem mitziusam ritzoni lomer hamalachim v'nefashos ritzoni lomer b'nei olam haba. Okay, that what? He's saying that they think that what? These people think that the only way to understand...
Meaning, he's going one step further now. He's saying that they don't even believe that there could be such a derech iyun to grasp these things. That the only way you can get it is through belief.
He's saying the only way to understand these things is Kabbalah mitzad haTorah. That there's no conceptual way of understanding Malachim or Olam Haba. That it's not really an idea. There's no idea of it. It's only because the Torah tells you. Interesting. It's interesting. The Ramban says, in Chumash, I forget exactly where it is, I have to find it. He says, why does the Torah not talk about Olam Haba? Or at least the Rambam's Olam Haba. Why doesn't the Torah talk about the soul existing after death, right? Why doesn't the Torah, in terms of the gemul, in terms of schar v'onesh, you only have in the Torah really you only have physical schar v'onesh mentioned? Why don't you have the schar except for karis? Karis is the onesh of the soul, but you don't have openly. The Torah says the Torah is speaking about the reward of the soul, right? See what the Ramban says? He says, because the Torah only talks about nisim. But the existence of the soul after death is not a nes. So the philosophers believed in it, and it's a natural idea. So it's not a schar of the Torah, per se. It's a natural idea of that. Torah, you only need the Torah to come and tell you something that you wouldn't have without it. So, I mean, his idea of karis is a little different than Ramban's idea of karis. It's a real onesh. And of course the schar v'onesh of in this world.
So would your own happen to have a different answer to that question?
In terms of karis?
Why the Torah doesn't talk about Olam Haba and this world?
I don't know.
You never refer to Olam Haba itself as schar?
In the Torah? Not explicitly.
Not
Torah Shabbosav. Right, not Torah Shabbosav.
In Torah Shabbosav, you know.
You mean Le'olam Shekulo Aruch? V'rach Tayam? Yeah, he's giving a pirush on the Chumash, and plain pshat in the Chumash is not...
Okay.
But what's he saying? He's saying an interesting thing. That what?
I'm really saying the only way, I mean, because we're saying that the only way you can grasp this correctly is as an idea. I mean, seeing the necessity of it, right, of the concept, and then actually believe in it. But they don't think that these types of things are subject to that.
Yeah, says they really can't have a concept of this. They can't really have a concept of this because they don't think that there's an idea of it. It's an interesting thing. If you're saying that the Torah is just telling you this, right? It's an interesting thing you're saying. If you believe the Torah is just telling you this, that there's an Olam Haba and that there are Malachim, but there's no way to approach those ideas purely from an intellectual standpoint, then you're not going to have an intellectual concept of it. You know what I mean? You're not going to have an intellectual concept of it. You're just going to have, okay, there's a new fact. But that's like I was saying before. It's going to have to be only a reality in the imaginative faculty. Because you don't believe that there's a derech ha'ion. You don't believe that there's an idea of malachim that exists before Torah, without Torah. And the Torah is just referring to that. You think you're starting fresh over here. There is no concept. And the Torah is just giving you an axiom over here.
It's a Torah axiom.
So, but it doesn't exist outside of Torah. So then you can't. There's no conceptual way of understanding it. There's no conceptual way of understanding it.
There's basically
between
the categories things that man just can't conceptualize.
Like
infinity or something. It's just out of man's true understanding.
Like a religious dogma type thing, right?
It's more like a religious dogma.
It's a religious dogma because it's not in the realm of.
Yeah, but he's saying, but that's going to affect the whole way you understand it. That's going to affect the whole idea, the entire idea you have of it. You're not going to look into it and think into it and see, well, why are malachim necessary? He's saying in order to get the conceptual idea, you have to really look into it and understand why they're necessary. And then you'll be able to understand them in the realm of causes, not in the realm of little messengers, zipping about, right? You have to be able to take it and bring it back to a purely intellectual basis. You understand what I'm saying? But you can't. But if you say, like you're saying, it only exists because of religious dogma. You can't. That those are contradictory concepts. To take a dogma and reduce it back to a sensible idea, then you don't need dogma, right?
You see, it's funny. I wonder if you can see where he gets that idea, because for him, the line stops. If you were to question about an area like that, he would have to use his imagination. So if he seems to recognize that line between stuff that's intellectual and stuff that's imaginative, and you know, for those people having to say about Malachim, he says, "What do you mean? That's just imagination." Kind of
who's the he we're talking about?
I'm wondering if he's describing the same guy he was talking about before. That if you were questioning him,
right?
Saying something.
But these people believe Malachim are physical. They believe Malachim are physical.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look, I just want to finish up this one thought. Go ahead. He says, Kemosha Omer Mishi Yah. He says, this is all, he said, there's a way of thinking. This is a whole, he's trying to explain to you the personality of the way this person relates to ideas. Okay, so he says, he doesn't believe that these things exist other than because the Torah tells them to you, the Kabbalah mitzvah the Torah, and what he says, and these are the type of people that they think they should be able to arrive at the truth in a moment.
Yeah.
Ubideos ena chalushos, with their weak intellect and their lack of motivation and their total and they're totally devoid of any chachma, and they just satisfied with simple dogma. Okay, ki ilu lo kosu chachamim zal klal b'mekomos rabim me'atalmud shedivrei Torah yesh lehen nigla v'nistar. He says these people, it's like they never heard that Chazal wrote in many, many places that Torah has something that's revealed and something that's hidden. V'lo ze yikari ha-nistar. What's called nistar? Sisrei Torah. U'kilu heim lo omru klol b'sisrei Torah dover. Says, no, as these people, they take an attitude. Everything is just pashut. Everything is simple and pashut. Says, but Chazal say many times, it's sisrei Torah. According to them, you'll never find Sisrei Torah because everything is pashut. Where are the Sisrei Torah? Right? Omnam elu sheyesh lo rachem aleihem meisichu daita mizeh kulo. Ach lo yodu lo mokom. Yeah. These people, that we should pity them, they just remove their das from this whole problem until they don't know a place. In other words, okay, so he's saying that's the problem of here. That's the profile of these types of people. That they really, he's really saying in the end that they really have no intellectual curiosity. They really have no intellectual curiosity. They really don't believe that there are ideas. And their whole belief is just based on a simple acceptance of they're satisfied. They're very happy and satisfied with simple things. But he says, they should at least admit. This is where he faults them, saying at least they should admit that Chazal say many places there are deep concepts, and you have to at least say, you have to at least show me something that you consider to you know, where are these areas that you acknowledge are deep? Everything is just simple. Yeah.
Why is it wrong to say that they simply maintain that the pshat level is true and there are deeper levels?
Well, what does that mean?
That means that when it says that the malachim eat food, it means that they eat food, and there are also deeper concepts there. There's nothing wrong with maintaining both. You can maintain that there are certain meaning. We maintain that it's the ideas behind the things that are more important, so we can even discard the mashal. But they just, meaning, they're not saying that the mashal is all there is to it. They're just saying that the mashal is true.
They're saying if you want to know about malachim, you read these stories in Chazal that talk about malachim, and then you'll know it. I malachim asisrei Torah.
So they're saying that you could know more about malachim if you were to investigate those matters deeper.
Yeah, but it's very simple. I mean, the whole realm of the Malach is just a very ordinary, familiar realm. I mean, there's nothing deep about it. I mean, like the hidden lives of Malachim. Exposé. That's not Sisrei Torah. That's not Sisrei Torah. Okay.
Banned in every yeshiva.
Okay, stop here. Of course, now people have a way.